All right, you ready to get into the Word? Amen. I have to pray before I get started today concerning this Word. Father, Lord, I'm about to explode on the inside. I'm so excited about your Word. Father, I just thank you that you said in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone. And Lord, you can look at us and know we love some bread. But Father, I thank you that you told us that even though we enjoy bread, that's not our true substance. You said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And Father, we thank you that we have the written word. We have the logos of your word. It is sacred. It is holy. It is infallible. And I thank you today, Father, that this word that will be spoken will become revelation to us, become rhema word to us, revelation, and that we will be doers of this word. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Thank you for leading me, guiding me, and directing me. I totally empty myself of myself, and I thank you for you coming forward now and teaching through me, and I thank you for saying what needs to be said. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. As I've been praying over these few months, but I tell you what, in the last couple of months, I have been having some incredible major encounters with the Holy Spirit during my very, very early prayer time and study of the Word of God. And it has been something on the inside of me because I've had to wrestle with things that we're seeing, things that are going on, things that you hear in the news media, different stories, how people are saying things about other people. I've wrestled with what I've seen as far as Christians getting into strife and attacking one another. I've seen Christians walk out of the love of God and walk over into and start operating into the flesh. The Apostle Paul actually addressed that in 1 Corinthians, not only the first chapter, but 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And he said, when there is divisions among you, when you start getting into strife and quarreling and arguments and things like that, he said, you're acting like unbelievers. He said, you're carnal. He said, you're not spiritual. You've come out of the spiritual and you walked over into the flesh. And when I was praying this particular week, and I was saying to the Lord, because the Lord still has me in the part of Exodus where Moses is still talking to the people, stand still and see. Stand still and see. And I was asking the Lord, and I said, Lord, how long are you going to keep me in this particular passage of Scripture until I want to move forward? I want to move forward. And he said, you're not going to move forward until my people stand still and see my salvation and quit operating in fear. He said, so many of my people are still operating in fear instead of operating in faith. And here's something else he said to me. He said, tell them it would be a good time for them to reread the Bible, to get into my word. Because he said their focus is more on the things in the natural than they are on what I say. And if they would focus on my word, I would lead them, guide them, and direct them. Their faith would become strong. Their faith would build. And therefore, they would not cast away their confidence, because many have cast away their confidence in what I can do and what I am going to do. And he said, just as I've been having you to teach concerning Pharaoh, he said, the reason that I've stopped you on that is because there is another spirit of Pharaoh that has been released upon and against this nation and against the body of Christ. But this is where the joy of the Lord exploded on the inside of me. Because he said this, he said, son, He said, just as I told my children not to fear, he said, my church does not have to fear, because did I not say the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church? And listen to this. He said, just the same way I arranged it, it was my plan, and I arranged it for Pharaoh to come in because I was going to demonstrate his complete and total defeat. He said, so right now I'm allowing Pharaoh to come in, but do not fear, because I still know how to handle Pharaoh. I still know what to do. He said, don't fear. He said, continue to pray. Continue to stand on my word and watch what I will do. And then he said this to me. He said, there's two types of engagement in warfare. He said, first of all, he said, I told my people that no one involved in warfare should be entangled with the affairs of this life. And he said, many of my people, instead of doing warfare, are allowing themselves to be entangled in the affairs of this life. He said, that's the reason that they're so full of fear. He said, did I not tell you that the cares of this world will come in and choke the word out? So he said, there is engagement that I will have you to engage with. I will have you to engage personally concerning the enemy. Just like when they went into the promised land, they had to engage the enemy. But they were engaging not in their own power and their own strength. They were engaging backed up by the power of the living God. And he said, there is an engagement where you begin to pray and intercede because of things that are happening, injustices that are taking place, and you begin to do spiritual warfare and you engage. But this engagement is different because what you're dealing with is so big that it takes my hand and my strength and my power and my wisdom to defeat it and overcome it. And so he said, and he gave me an example. He said, when James had been put to death and Peter was put into prison, it said the church went and prayed. And when they went and prayed, then there was an engagement of divine intervention by the power of God, by God, that went into that prison and set him free. When Paul and Silas were put in the bottom of the prison, they began to pray and they began to praise and sing songs. At that point, they couldn't engage those who had locked them up, but God engaged what was locking them up, and God came and delivered them and set them free. And God said, because of the prayer of my people, I am a man of war. I am engaging. And the Lord said, stand still and watch and see my salvation. Oh, I'm telling you, enemy thinks that he's got us between a rock and a hard place. He thinks that he has got us between him and the deep blue sea. And God is saying to his church right now, stand firm in faith. Continue to pray. Stand firm and watch my salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You have nothing to fear. Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 13 and 14. Yes. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. What's the first thing he addresses? Come on, say it loud. What's the first thing he addresses? Fear. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Folks, remember when Herod put James to death? Herod came after the church. Let me just say this. Everybody that's watching, that you might be somebody in leadership, you better not touch the church of Jesus Christ. You don't touch God's anointed. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. I'm just sharing with you what God has been just showing me, pouring into me. When Herod put James to death, then he locked Peter up because it pleased the people. He thought he was going to get more votes. So he put them in prison. He shut them down. Then Herod went out one day in all of his pomp and glory. And everybody was looking at him and glorifying him and saying he's a god. And everybody was flattering him. And the Bible says he was struck dead. Just like that. Bam! Not only was he struck dead, but right before their eyes, the people watched. The Bible said the worms eat him. You know what we're missing in America? We're missing the fear of God. We're missing the reverential fear of God. And I'm going to say it again. You don't touch God's church. It is Jesus' church. And just like when Saul, before he came, Paul was breathing out threatenings and threatening the church, and people were being put to death, people would be put in prison. Saul had papers going out and doing all of that, and then all of a sudden, one day on a road, Jesus appeared to him and said, "Boy," this is North Carolina translation, "Boy, you fighting against the wrong one." And he said, "Lord, who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus." And then what happened? He got saved. I'm believing a lot of the people that are standing and fighting against the church are going to have a Damascus Road experience, and I believe they're going to get saved. And it's going to turn them around. It's going to turn them around. Will turn them around. And where they were breathing out threatenings against the church, now they're going to be preaching like you have never seen them preach before. Are you listening to me? Let me say something to you. When I got saved, I came out of what they call the hippie love movement. Everything there was all just love, 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 but it was the wrong kind of love. It was love, it was pot, it was sex, it was just love, love. That's what it was. But how many of you know that the devil will always send a counterfeit before the real actually shows up? Because he knows there is a stirring in the heaven. And so what he tries to do is he tries to always bring a counterfeit. And so the counterfeit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that took place in the 70s like we had never seen before, the counterfeit of that was LSD. Mind expansion. Expanding the mind, causing people to see things and say things and do all kinds of things. But it was a substance that was used that caused people to act differently, to see differently. They would have visions, dreams, all kinds of crazy stuff that was happening. That happened as a counterfeit because in the 70s, in the early 70s, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There was a baptism of the Holy Spirit like we had never, ever seen in this nation before. Now people there, they were now expanding, not by a mind-blowing drug, but their minds being blown by the Holy Ghost and with power and with fire. And I was one of those that got caught up in that. It was called the Jesus movement. But something different is happening here. Because out of the Jesus movement, it was an acoustical type of singing love and songs and things of that nature. It was a preaching of peace, 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 peace. But now we're seeing something totally, completely different. Because the precursor of what is getting ready to happen, not only in the United States of America, but around the world, there is violence. There is attacks. There are songs now that are not singing of peace, but there are songs and music that is coming out that is very violent. So when we came out of the 70s, when we came out of that Jesus movement, man, we were all talking about the love of God. We were all talking about the peace and things of that nature, and that is still this. But let me just say you what's happening in this last days. The counterfeit is coming before the real, because there is an army of men and women, young men and women. There is an army. There is a Joel's army that is being raised up right now in this time that is going to do spiritual warfare like we have never seen before. What you're doing is in the 70s we saw the Lamb, but right now in this particular century and this coming time, you're going to see the roar of the Lion of Judah. You're not going to see celebrities anymore. You're going to see a people that are more concerned about watching and seeing people get lost than they are how many people I can have in my church. The Lion in this day and time, the Lion of Judah is getting ready to roar. Like never before. He's getting ready to roar. In the 70s, it was the love feast. And Jesus still loves us. But I'm telling you, coming right now into the years coming, we're going to see heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We are not going to cower back. We are not going to be weak ones. We're not going to sit back and watch the devil take over and do what he wants to do. The church of the Lion of Judah is roaring and standing up. We're not going to be backing down and we're not going to be cowering down. We're going to go in and take what belongs to us. We're moving forward in the victory that Jesus gave us. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to see young people that are going to be raised up. It's off the chart. You're going to see people get saved that nobody even dreamed that could get saved. People will say this. People will say this. That's like the devil getting saved with him getting saved or her getting saved. There is intercession going on right now. I hope you're a part of it. I hope you're not just listening to the false prophets on TV. When I talk about false prophets, I'm not just talking about in the church. Because a false prophet can be outside the church. False voices that we're listening to. You better get locked in to the voice of Jesus. You better get locked into the voice of the Holy Spirit. I thought I was going to teach my message today. You better get locked in. I'm telling you, there is a voice going out by the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is not a time for you to be entangled in the affairs of this life. This is not a time for you to be in love with the world. This is not a time for you to play on the fence. Amen. This is a time that you jump in. This is not a time that you just wading just ankle deep or knee deep or just waist deep. This is time that you just get absolutely deluded. You jump in all the way. You are swimming in the river. You're not standing on the creek banks watching other people. It's time to come off the stands and get onto the field and start playing. Start doing what God wants us to do. Start interceding. And if we adults want to sit around and be in fear, then I'll tell you, your children will be raised up. Your children will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Your children will come up. Your young people will come up. And a child shall lead them. I'm not going to let Pastor Cameron outrun me. Because we're running together. Well, he's faster than you are, but I'm smarter. I've got wisdom. What do you mean? That means I'll take my belt and put it around him, and he can't go without me. However he runs, he's got to run with me. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this. I may not even get out of this passage of Scripture. I've got a great message here. Four vital ingredients for your success and advancement during difficult times. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation. See the salvation of the Lord. See the deliverance of the Lord. I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say, don't be afraid. Stand in faith. You are going to see the salvation, the deliverance, the power of your God. Jesus. Jesus. Some of you have been standing in faith for quite some time. Stand firm, fixed, because you're getting ready to see a mighty move of God in your life. The things that you have been dealing with and some of the things that you thought that you're going to have to put up with the rest of your life is getting ready to disappear by the mighty move and force of the living God. The things that we have gotten our eyes on that we think are so big and so strong and so mighty are not more powerful than our God. God just needs somebody to stand up and believe him. Somebody to declare his word. Somebody to pray and believe that what he can do, he doesn't need a million people. He can do it with one or two or three. Listen what the Spirit of God is saying to you today. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish. He will accomplish. He will accomplish today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, what you are seeing today, I'm telling you right now, will be no more by the power of the living God and the spoken word of God. Do we just believe this book as a history book, or do we believe that God is a God of today like he was yesterday? And he will be forever. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. What he's done for one generation, he can do for another. But Jesus said, the same works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works. What we must do is get back to our purpose. What is our purpose? It has not changed. It's the same purpose that Jesus had when he came here. Let me ask you one thing. Is the devil still alive and well on planet Earth? Yes, he is. Is he moving in this place? He's moving with great arrogance and pride. He is being emboldened today because he thinks that he can do what he wants to with the church of Jesus Christ. He thinks, just like he did in the book of Acts, that he can shut us down just like he tried to shut them down. But you can't shut down what God has ordained, what God has anointed, and what God has already set forth in his future. But there will always be counterfeits. The Bible says this, when the Philistines, which were motivated and instigated by the devil, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, they immediately came up to fight him, to stop him, to kill him if they could. And David went to the Lord, and David got God's wisdom. Some of you, what you need is not what you think you need in the natural. What you actually need in the spiritual is you need wisdom from God. Because some of the plans that you need today may not work like they did yesterday. There is a new strategy. You have to find that in prayer. You have to find that in seeking the Lord. They came, the Philistines came up and David defeated them. The Bible says that the Philistines went back defeated, but they went down into a valley and regrouped. How many of you know the devil will not give up after the first time? This is the reason that we have this in the book of Exodus, where the devil had them in captivity, and then he lost them, and then he came back to get them. But in coming back to get them, he had no idea, because he doesn't know the plans of God. He had no idea that it was all a setup to get him in a position, in a place where God would get mighty glory and honor out of his defeat. There's a lot of times when we're bawling and squalling and crying about what the enemy is doing, and God's just saying, stand still, wait a minute, I got a plan. I hadn't lost my mind in this. I haven't lost any strategy in this. This hasn't taken me by surprise. I know exactly what's going on, and I know exactly what I'm doing. Somebody say, God's got this. Somebody say it again. God's got this. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's present everywhere. He's in every boardroom. He's in every room that they are spewing out strategies and things. He's there. It's just like the king got so upset every time that they put a plan together and came, the king of Israel knew exactly what they were going to do. And God had him placed in strategic place at the right time, the right moment. And the king got so upset, he said, who among my men are telling them what's going on? Where's the spy? Where's the rat? Who's telling them that? And then all of a sudden, one of his men chimed up and said, it's not one of us. It's that prophet. God's telling that man everything we do because the God they serve is right here with us, hears everything we say, and then goes and tells them. Do you have a hearing ear, church? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying? Are you hearing what all the news media is saying? Is that where you're getting your voices from? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying? You need to start reading your New Testament again. You need to start reading the epistles again. You need to start reading the Bible again because he's never lost a battle. Pharaoh was the most powerful organization, the most powerful nation. He was the most powerful military at that particular time. He had everything organized. He had every instrument in place, everything that he needed to bring defeat. The only thing that he forgot about was there was a God in Israel. There is still a God in America. He is the God. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He cannot be defeated. He cannot be defeated. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And the gates mean the planning, the scheming of the enemy. You also have to make up your mind whose side you're going to be on. Because you're going to pick a side. When Moses was confronted in the wilderness by some of the people that rebelled against God, Moses simply said, because God told him, he said, pick a side. Pick a side. What side do you want to be on? Let me just say this to every single one of us here and viewing. Choose carefully. Yes, sir. Choose carefully. Because if you choose wrong, you could find yourself partaking of the same consequences. Yes, sir. Choose carefully who you're going to partner with. Choose carefully who you're going to walk with, who you're going to align with. Choose carefully. And do not let your love grow cold in these last days because sin is abounding. Jesus even prophesied and said, there will be many in my body that the love will grow cold. The love of what? The love of God and the love of his word. And will be caught up in the current and the riptides and the undertows of this culture. And they will pull you down. And once they get you down, unless you really repent, unless you really trust your God, you will drown. This is a day and a time right now that we've got to make sure that the decisions we make line up with God, with Jesus, and with his word. And if they don't line up with Jesus, and they don't line up with God, and they don't line up with his word, you better depart. Because the people that lined up with those that were against Moses, the ground opened and swallowed them. You better be very careful who you align with today. In other words, here's what I'm saying. We're living in a day and a time right now, you're going to really find out about your Christianity. You do not want to be playing games. You don't want to have one foot over in church and one foot over here in the world and kind of going back and forth playing games like that. you may find yourself, when the trumpet sounds, you may find yourself rooted and grounded right here in the earth while everybody else is gone. I knew that wouldn't get a big response. But I'm telling you the truth. Jesus says this, you're either for me or you're against me. Doesn't mean that we're perfect in everything that we do, but when we have knowledge of something that is wrong and not right and that is contrary to God's word, and we continue to move and live in that and associate with that, I'm telling you, there are going to be consequences that you don't like. And then let me just say this. You can't run down here and expect me to pray some magical prayer that's going to undo everything. Oh, God listens to repentance. God, when we repent, God listens to us. We repent, God listens, and God forgives us. He will forgive us. Okay? He does that. But let me say this. He will help you try to work through the consequences. But it doesn't mean the consequences disappear. He will help you through them. Believe me, I've been there. He will help you through them, but they just don't disappear. So many people want to go out and live like the world and do what they want to do and enjoy all of the things of the world, which is contrary to living the way God called us to live. And then all of a sudden the devil comes and just pours out his wrath upon them, pours out all kinds of craziness and things upon them. And then what do you want to do? The first place you want to run to God, absolutely. But what you want God to do is you want God to remove all of it so you don't have any consequences. That's not true repentance. That's God, get this stuff out of my life so I can go back and do it again. That is not true repentance. If you truly repent, there will be fruit of that repentance. It's obvious. You'll see it. You'll see it in my life. You'll hear it. You'll hear it. God is getting ready to show up and to show off. You're going to see it with your very eyes, just like the children of Israel saw it with Pharaoh. But let me say something. By the way, my notes will be up there. It's a great message. Let me say this to you. Listen to me very, very. I need the worship team come out here, please. Let me say something to you. Very, 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 very important. You must make a decision that anything in your life that is not of God, you've got to get it out. In other words, you need to repent of it and put it on the altar. You need, well, what if I lose all of my friends? What if I lose all of my friends? I lost every friend that I had. I was cussed. I was made fun of. I got in fights. Now, you got to realize why I got in fights, because when I was a young Christian, I grew up fighting. That was kind of my life. Where's Chris? Is Chris in here this morning? Chris was a sheriff's deputy. He went to Tabor City to find out if what I was saying was true. And he went to Tabor City and asked people. He said, I got a pastor. And they said, Al Bryce, your pastor? You got to be kidding me. And then they told him the stories that was true. I grew up like that. That's what my whole town was like. And so when when I was first born again, got witness to people, I would get in fights with my friends. We'd punch it out. Because I thought if I could knock them down, I could get them saved. I'm not kidding you. This is true. This is true. I know somebody said, Jesus. I know. I didn't know that then. I just figured, because they got in my face, and then I'd get in their face. But I learned love after that. Are you hearing me? I learned that that's not God. I learned that it's love. That's the whole thing. But I was attacked. I was made fun of. I was laughed at. I was made, the jokes were made about me during that time. But let me just say something to you. I was totally sold out as a sinner. 100%. And I was good at it. That's to my shame. I never brag about that. But I do know this. When Jesus came into my heart, and everything I was addicted to, I was delivered from. I didn't cuss anymore, because for the first time in my life, I knew that was not right. I didn't do the things that I used to do, because I just knew that was not right. How did I know those things? I hadn't even read the Bible yet. How did I know those things were wrong? Because the Spirit of the living God came to live inside of me. The Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of me. All of a sudden, I began to see differently. I began to act differently, to the point that my dad had to sit down and have a talk with me. Because people were talking to him and saying, something's happened to your son. And my dad sat down with me and he said, okay, Al, what's going on with you? You're acting weird. And I said, tell me how I'm acting weird. He said, well, you just have a calmness and you have a peace about you, and you're not running out, going out partying and all that stuff like you were doing, and you're reading your Bible. That's the weird thing. And I looked at him and I said, Dad, I got saved. I gave my heart to Jesus. And he said, why aren't you going out with your friends? They're all concerned about you. I said, no, I'm concerned about them. And I said, Dad, I don't want that anymore. I said, I don't need their affirmation. I got Jesus. I don't need their affirmation. I want them to get saved, and I became a light because I was totally sold out for the Lord. Have I missed it? Because this coming September will be 50 years of me walking with the Lord. 50 years of walking with the Lord. And I totally sold out. I sold out on my college campus. Man, everybody there knew. I mean, y'all know this. I took psychology to find out. I majored in psychology and was working on my master's degree to find out why I was crazy. That's the truth. I was interested in helping me get sane. And then when I got saved and started reading the Bible, everything made sense. Because now I understood the spiritual aspect of it. God is calling us to go forward. But to go forward, He wants us sanctified. And He wants us consecrated. That means completely and totally sold out. Not playing games with Him as if He's not there, doesn't see me, doesn't hear me, or watch me. He sees everything that I'm doing. And let me just say this to you. We are so close to the return of Jesus Christ. We are so close. And my question is, because he says, when I come back, are you going to be ashamed of me? When I come back, will I find persistent faith? Are you going to occupy until I come back? Are you going to walk for me and live for me and be everything that I called you to be? Are you going to seek me with all of your heart? Or are you going to seek everything outside of me? And then when the trumpet blows and nobody knows when that's happened, you're going to try to clean yourself up? He's already cleaned us up. But we can't run back and wallow in the mud, in the filth. We've got to be that light. We've got to be those soldiers. We've got to be the men and women that the world is looking for right now. We actually need to be the soldiers, and we need to be the leaders that even the church is looking for right now. And we cannot allow people that call themselves Christians that are living by the flesh and carnality to begin to influence us. You need to make your stand, take your ground, and just say, no, that's not who I am. I'm not going in. And you need to point out to them, you need to get your life right with God. What if they leave me? How about the rich young ruler when he walked away from Jesus? Did Jesus chase him down? You've got too many people in front of you that need you. You've got too many people that are walking in darkness that need you to be the light as you are and keep walking forward and doing the things that God's called you to do. Because we're entering a time right now that there's going to be a manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God that the world has been looking for and that the world needs to see right now. And it's not just for the young people to be on fire. It's for us. It's for the millennials. It's for the baby boomers. It's for every generation to be on fire for God. There is coming another move of God of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire that's coming. Churches have gotten away from that. Such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early 70s. Every time somebody would get saved, the first thing they would do would be pray for them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus told his disciples, don't you go anywhere. Don't you even try to do what I told you to do without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even in the book of Acts, they put such an emphasis on it, and we have taken the emphasis off. We've put the emphasis on how many people that we have at church. My reputation. Numbers. Instead of concentrating, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come here to be served. I came to serve. And the same purpose that Jesus had when he came is the same purpose that we have today, to destroy the works of the devil. The power of God. And we can either be a part of that, or you can put up your anchor, and what the Bible says, you can just drift away. Or you can let your love grow cold. That's the key. How do you stay? How does your love go cold? Is when you. It's not that you're in. You're not in the environment. God has. We are salt. We're supposed to be in every cultural vocation in the world. Yes. Jesus prayed and he said, "Lord, he said, don't take them out of the world." Don't take them out of where they're at in the culture and the vocation. But he said, protect them from the evil one. But I can't allow the culture and the environment of the culture to influence me in such a way that my love for God grows cold. And my love for the word grows cold. And my love for one another grows cold. In this day and time, to walk the way we're supposed to walk, iron has to sharpen iron. And some of the people that you're allowing to hang around you and hang on to you, you're going to have to just tell them straight up, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm not doing that. I'm not going in that direction. I'm not doing this anymore. Let them laugh. Let them mock. Let them make fun. But I will tell you this. When you're gone and they're not, they will remember every word that you said. And hopefully they will get saved. But hopefully, listen, the guy that cussed me the most, the guy that fought me the most, the guy that lied about me and said all kinds of things about me for years. When Tave and I were at my house and my mom and dad's one day, there was a knock on the door. Guess who was standing there? He was standing there. And he said, I know I've said all kinds of things about you, and I know I've lied, and I know I've done all this stuff, but the doctors told me I'm possibly going to lose my leg. He said, the last thing you ever said to me was this: if you ever need prayer, I'm here to pray for you. He said, will you still pray for me? Absolutely. Long story short, God healed his leg. Totally healed his leg. But you know who he came to seek out? He came to seek out the person who stood firm in his Christianity and would not in any way, shape, or form give in, water it down, compromise in any way, shape, or form. That's what God is calling us to do today. Let's all stand, please. Let me just say this in closing. You're the only one who knows this. And when I say this, if you can't move out, guess what? The fear of man and your own pride will keep you from responding. This is not for everybody, but if it's for you, I'm speaking by the Spirit of the living God. If this is you, and you know it's you, and God knows it's you, this is a day and a time that God is calling for repentance. He's calling for us to get our lives right with Him. If you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, or you know that there is things in your life right now that you are letting hang on, or people hang on right now, and you know there's a tug on the inside of you, that is the Spirit of the living God. If there's an uneasiness on the inside of you, that's the enemy trying to keep you back. If you say, Pastor, today I want to receive Jesus as the Lord of my life. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be in the family of God. I want to make my decision for Jesus. And I'm making it, committing myself to Him. Not playing games, not going back. Not going to let people influence me. I'm going to follow Jesus with all my heart. Or if you say this, Pastor, yes, there are some things in my life and God has been convicting me this morning, and I want to pray, I want to repent, and I want to get it out of my life. If that's you, I want you coming down right here where I'm going to pray for you right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Do you love your friends more than you love Jesus? That's my question. Do you love more what people think about you than you love? going back. That's what Moses said. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation. We're not going back to slavery. We're not going back to this mess. We're not going back. Me and my family, we're going all the way. Going all the way with Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross in front of me, no turning back. No turning back. There are times that we will make mistakes, okay? But I'll tell you this. When I made some mistakes, my heart was so broken, and I was quick to repent. Because I love Jesus. Not perfect, made mistakes, but when I did, I repented and got my life right where it needed to be. And that's where I've been walking. And I put boundaries in my life. That's what I do. I want everybody to look at me right now. Look at me. Everybody look at me. You're making a full-fledged 100% commitment. 100% commitment. 100% commitment. And you're not going to be afraid to tell your friends, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I'm not going this way. Oh, it can be lonely. It was one of the loneliest times in my life. It can get lonely, but I was not alone. I was not alone because Jesus was right there with me. And he brought new friends. This is the reason a church, and I'm not saying everybody in church is serving the Lord, but this is the reason we have church. Church should be the safest place in the world. It should be a place where you are embraced. It should be. Listen to me. I don't want to know about your past. I don't know what has happened to you. I just want to know and tell you about your future. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Amen. I want you to bow your heads before the Lord, and I want you to pray this out loud with me. And those that are viewing, you can pray this out loud with us. I want you to pray this out loud with me, and we're all going to pray together with you. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. And I love you. And I want to know your love. I see your love. Because you sent Jesus, your only son, to die for me. Today, Father, I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I repent of all my sin. And I ask your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Today, unashamedly, before heaven and earth, before everybody, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. And I thank you now. I am brand new. Old things have passed away. All things are now new. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am righteous. I am holy. I am your child. And I raise my hands right now. And I give you praise and glory. And I thank you for saving me, delivering me. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. For those that need deliverance in their life, Satan, you have no authority over them. I forbid you in Jesus' name to torment them. I forbid you in any way, shape, or form to make them think that they are not saved. You lying devils, in the name of Jesus, I loose you from them in the name of Jesus. Command you be gone and return no more in the name of Jesus. I set them free. I loose them from every addiction, I loose them from every fear. I loose them in the name of Jesus to walk in the liberty and freedoms in Jesus' name. Now I want you to raise your hands one more time and I want you to say this with me. Father, I'm asking you right now to baptize me in the Holy Spirit with power and fire in the name of Jesus. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Do it now, Father. Jesus' name, Father, baptize him in the Holy Spirit with fire and power. Let me tell you what you get there. You get a spiritual language that God gives you that is supernatural. It's called, all through the Bible, it's called speaking in tongues. It's a language that you haven't learned. It's from the Holy Spirit. It comes from in. And let me say, you say, man, I felt something, Pastor, but it just did not come out. Let me tell you, that happened to me the first time. I went home. I got on my knees in my bedroom all by myself, and I said, Father, if this is what you have for me, because I know it's in the Bible, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I said, I want to do it. The next thing I know, for the next 3 hours on my bedroom floor, I was absolutely rocked by the Spirit of God. Tongues just started coming out, just started flowing out, and I haven't stopped. 50 years I haven't stopped. Every time I get an opportunity, when I don't know how to pray about something, I pray in the Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. But I'm the one who has to open my mouth and speak. And it's a gift that God gives you to build you up spiritually. It's 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. You can find out it right there. And I said, Lord, I need this. I need it. And God just zapped me right there. And I loved it. Been zapped ever since. Still getting zapped. I think I have some people have a defibrillator. I got a Holy Spirit zapper. I got a Holy Spirit implant. Amen. That keeps me going. Amen. Okay. No going back. No going back. Because you listen, Pharaoh came after them. You know the enemy's going to come back. Try to make you think that you... And listen, he's going to bring up your past. You rebuke that and bring up his future. You bring up his future. No, that's not who I... Remember what we were singing this morning? That's not who I am now. I'm the righteousness of God. You may not feel like it. It has nothing to do with what you feel. Just because you feel it doesn't make it so. It's what God has said. It's what God has said. Say this with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm gonna get you to say something that, again, you're feeling, and what maybe you've done in the past won't even feel right to you, okay? But you've got to realize you're not who you used to be. Okay? Say this. I am holy. I am holy. I am clean. Are you ready for this? I am a virgin. Because I'm clean and I'm pure in the sight of Almighty God. Because old things have passed away, you just became brand new. That's who you are. Now, walk in that and live in that. And every time a thought comes from your past, that doesn't come from God, because God took your sin and threw it as far as the east is from the west. That is an infinity, okay? He never brings it up. The devil can bring it up, but he's not going to bring it up. So when the devil brings it up, or your own mind brings it up, that's not who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am holy and I am pure. Amen. I love saying that. It makes the devil so mad. I love to make him mad. I am holy. I am pure. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the grace of God. Well, I don't deserve it. Of course you don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. He gave it to us anyway. That's his grace. That's his mercy. That's who he is. Live in that. Walk in that every single day. Can you say amen? You can go back to your seats now. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God praise. Somebody shout to the Lord in the house.